Our words are powerful. The Bible says that the things we say have the power of life and death. Join us for a 5-week series from the book of Proverbs called Watch Your Mouth as we unpack the power of helpful words, honest words, hopeful words, hurtful words, and healing words. And now here's today's message.
Church. Good morning, Northgate. I am Marsha. Hello, my name is Marsha Rivers. It's Name Tag Sunday, and that's for me. I requested it because I want to get to know all of your names. This is my fourth Sunday here, and I know four names. No, I know a few more names than that, but it is a big church, a growing church, a thriving church, and I am just so honored and delighted to be part of it. I was asked to share a little bit about myself for you to get to know me, as this is my first weekend sharing the message. And I don't know what to say except that I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm here because God brought me here. I was born and raised in Albion. I still live there with my husband Tom, who's there. You may know him from those of you who are Batavians from the Daily News. He was a reporter there for a number of years. And whenever Tom comes up in conversation, oh, I remember him. Farmhands, right? He wrote a book about his experience as an agricultural reporter and some time that he spent working alongside the farm workers. And that's a whole story. Obviously, read the book. But we have four children. Our oldest daughter, Vivian, is a freshman at Houghton College, not here with us this weekend, but I got a very encouraging text from her this morning, so parents, you can appreciate what that meant to me. My next oldest is Reuben, who came last night to service, and then I've got Lucy with me here, and Cordelia is in the kids zone, and can I just tell you, she is psyched about the kids zone and the kids programming here at Northgate, so just a good word about the excellent work that is happening back there, and those of you who are part of it and parents are nodding, you know it's really a wonderful opportunity for our kids to grow in the Lord. Well, as I said, it's my first weekend preaching, not my first time preaching ever. I've, for the last 5 years or so, been preaching, providing what they call pulpit supply. It's a very churchy term for churches, mainly that are small and that have, you know, just one pastor. And if that person is ill or needs to go on vacation or so forth, they need somebody to fill in. And I had attended seminary. I was on the track for ordination, which I received last May. And so I've had the opportunity to preach in lots of places and to share God's word. But this is different. Because you are mine, you are, and I am yours. We belong to each other. It's different to just fill in somewhere as opposed to being part of a family and sharing in that. So I'm really excited, and I thank you for the warm welcome that I've received so far. I gotta say, part of the reason that this Sunday has been extra challenging to prepare for is that I'm plucked in the middle of this series. Watch Your Mouth series. And let's see, Pastor John spoke first about helpful words, right? Let's remember this together. Then Pastor Vern shared on honest words, and then last week, hopeful words. Next week, Pastor John will share again on healing words. We've got helpful words. We've got honest words. Hopeful words, and then healing words, and what do I get stuck with? Let's stick the new pastor with hurtful words. However, I will say it is something that hurtful words obviously affect us all, and so it's an important topic, and I'm honored and privileged to be able to open God's word with you and share about how to handle hurtful words and how to say them less. Our main point for today will be, wise people recognize the power of words and avoid causing or harboring hurt. It's a challenge. I'll grant you that. But let's see what God's word has to say about it. Well, I took a chance with my Facebook friends. Pastor John talked about this the first week, too, about how, you know, people are willing to share their opinions on Facebook. And so I asked them to help me prepare for today by saying, preaching at Northgate next weekend, what are some hurtful words that you can share with me? I wasn't asking my Facebook friends to, you know, verbally attack me, like hurtful words directed toward Marcia. No, I wanted them to share some times that they remember things people said to them that hurt, that stuck. And as you can imagine, I got lots of feedback, lots of examples. Actually, in my status message, I said, private message me with those hurtful words. Well, some people just let it all hang out. As you know, they different personalities, different types. And I got lots of examples, some of which I will share with you this morning. However, one of them that I think is pertinent to start with came from a friend of mine who said, you know, why don't you just follow me around for a day and document? That should make it easy for you. I said, well, what do you mean? I'm picturing my poor friend going around getting hurtful words said to him all the time. I said, do you mean hurtful words that are said to you or hurtful words that you say to others? And he said, yes, both, right? I think that's an important point that, of course, we remember hurtful words that have been directed toward us. Sometimes we remember them for years. In fact, a number of the examples that I received came from people from years ago, childhood memories of hurtful words and how they affected them. But also, we say hurtful words, sometimes inadvertently, carelessly, not thinking. Sometimes, though, we say things that are hurtful, knowing very well what we're saying and how it will be received, and we do it anyway. Why? Why do we do that? Well, in last week's message, Pastor Vern shared about hope, hopeful words, biblical hope, and how ideally biblical hope will flow out of us as believers in Jesus who experience that hope, and that's what we'll pass on to others. I think the same could be said of helpful words, that we would not say hurtful words, but helpful words because we know the great helper. We know Jesus. However, we have this pesky, pessimistic part of us that is hurtful. It's called the sinful nature. And I'm going to read a passage to you from Romans. The Apostle Paul describes this problem, this sinful nature, in a passage I've heard referred to as the doo-doo passage, about what comes out of us. You can take that however you want. But I think it's appropriate when we're talking about hurtful words. Romans chapter, where am I? Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but I hate what I do. That's kind of how it feels, right? We have the best intentions, but then this other stuff comes up. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Did you follow all that? You just repeat it back to me, right? I think we've all had days when we could easily substitute the word say for the word do. I won't go back and repeat all that, filling in the word say, but just this last bit to prove my point. Now, if I say what I do not want to say, it is no longer I who say it, but it is sin living in me that says it. Well, if the Apostle Paul struggled to do and say the right thing, it stands to reason that we can also expect to struggle. One of my personal heroes of the faith is Dallas Willard. You may know, have heard of him from The Divine Conspiracy. I think that's his best-known work, but he was a brilliant philosophy professor and Christian apologist, which is a fancy word for saying he was good at explaining the Christian life and its relevance and its reality. And I've had the privilege recently of joining the launch team for a new book by Dallas Willard, and I'm not just promoting it here because it's part of my launch team duties to tell you about this book. It's because it's extremely relevant what he says about why. Why do we say things that we don't want to say? In a section of the book entitled The Poison of Self-Obsession, Dallas Willard talks about how we're all hurting. You see, hurt people hurt people. That's why we hurt people. You see, he says, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, what happens? You're thinking about your thumb, right? Like, ouch, that hurts. And depending on how hard you hit it, it might hurt for several days. The same is true when we are hurt by something someone said. We become very conscious of ourselves to the extent that we are imprisoned in that consciousness. Of course, we're all hurt in one way or another, often by our families and our communities. Then, in turn, we become the sources of hurt and pain to others. Literally, we have a world of hurt. And it doesn't do any good to say, oh, don't think about it. Don't think about that throbbing thumb or those hurt feelings. We just can't seem to help ourselves from realizing that pain and its very powerful presence in us. And when we are so focused on ourselves and our pain, it prevents us from turning to our only source for help and hope, and that's God Himself. So, he says, we live in a world filled with people trying to be their own saviors. They can't do it, which, of course, makes them all the more desperate and obsessed with themselves. Then, finally, the resulting anger and desperation leads to the many ways we attack one another. Ouch. So what to do? How do we handle this problem of hurtful words that we all seem to be exchanging day in and day out? Well, I want to acknowledge, first of all, the range of hurtful words. You know, I have 4 children. They don't always get along perfectly. You know, they argue, they bicker, they fight. And so, you know, a sister may say to a brother after bickering, "You're so annoying." And that's hurtful. But of course, that's not nearly as hurtful as some of the words that are said to us. Words like, "You weren't invited." Words like, "You didn't get the job." Words like, "The cancer has come back." Or words like, "I want a divorce." So there's plenty of words that fall in between that sort of inconsiderate and life-altering. And I want to acknowledge that broad spectrum of words that could be classified as hurtful. And I also want to say some words that are hurtful really do call for professional and sometimes legal intervention. If you find yourself experiencing hurtful words, maybe even physical harm in a damaging relationship, please know that you can come to any of the pastors and we will get you the help that you need. Sometimes the first step is just saying it out loud to somebody that this is not normal, this is not safe for me, and I need real help. For our purposes today, though, I hate to call it the normal range of hurtful words, but I'm talking about hurtful communication that happens among people that couldn't be classified as abuse, okay? And let's open God's word together to see what biblical principles we can discover for managing and mitigating that pain. Now, in this series, we're focused on the Proverbs, and there's plenty in the Proverbs about communication and hurtful words that are exchanged between people. I'll just give you a few quickfire examples. Proverbs 11:9, "With their mouths the godless destroy their neighbors." Proverbs 11:12, "Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense." Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood." Yikes. So we have destruction, derision, hatred. And there's more. Proverbs 18:7-8 says, The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Now, I ate a cupcake for breakfast this morning. I don't want you to think that choice morsels are a good thing in this case. So I turn to another version of Scripture, the Message, for Proverbs 18:8, that says, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? Hurtful words are like junk food. We might be very tempted to say them. We might be very tempted even to consume them. But we know they aren't good for us. So how can we make better food choices when it comes to our words? I have what might be considered a four-part recipe for you to consider. Consider the content. Consider the source. Consider your stance. And consider the solution. Now, when I say first point, consider the content, that includes what we say to others, and what others say to us, and how and when and where and why, because that's part of the content. You know, the how, the tone of voice. You know, you can say the same words and say them in a different way, and they can mean two completely different things. I mentioned my other two kids who aren't here with me this morning, but Reuben was sitting there, right about there, with little Cordelia last night, and she was fidgety. You know, she's seven. So kids are fidgety in church, and, you know, her older brother might have said to her, "Don't do that," or he might have said, "Don't do that." You get it? The tone is different. He could say it nicely or not so nicely. The content, it's part of the content. How about when and where? You know, if we've got a difficult conversation to have with anybody, really, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, certainly a spouse, when and where we choose to initiate that conversation can be part of the content. We should be considerate about, if we're the one initiating, how and where and how, where and when that conversation takes place. And of course, part of the content is why. Why are we saying the words we're saying? Or why is the person saying hurtful things to us? Now, I told you I got a ton of examples from my Facebook query. I'll just share a few, since we're on the topic of content. I already shared, "You weren't invited." That came up more than once. That's hurtful to people. People want to be included. How about this? These are actual quotations. I'm not making these up. "We didn't invite you because we knew you couldn't afford it." Or how about this? I've got both examples from a baby shower or a bridal shower. And somebody turns to a single and or childless person in the room and says, "When's it going to be your turn?" Not having any idea about the dating history or lack thereof, as the case in my friend who shared that one, or fertility struggles that somebody might be experiencing. You can see how that would be hurtful. Oh, here's a good one. Horrible one. "Oh, at least you have breast cancer and not one of the really bad kinds." Several people wrote to me with cautionary tales of using the words, "well, at least," pertaining to anything with illness, disease, or death. You know, someone has just lost a loved one, and they hear the words, "well, at least you know they're not suffering anymore," or "at least they're in a good place." Now, those aren't untrue things, those aren't bad things, but sometimes the best thing to say is simply, "I'm sorry." Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing, silence. Then again, sometimes silence itself can be hurtful if there really is comfort to be offered and something to say. Human communication is complicated. We could spend all day exchanging horror stories and recounting words that have hurt us and the ways we've misused words to hurt others. And we likely will remember the hurtful words that have been said to us. You know, there's that old saying, forgive and forget. Not so easy. We know that from personal experience. But here's another wise saying that you probably heard in childhood, and it does ring true. Consider the source. There's a radio producer and podcaster named Mildred McDonald who offers this insight on the website LinkedIn. It's for professionals, you know, how to go about your professional life in a good way, a successful way. And Mildred McDonald offered these words about considering the source in response to criticism. I think it pertains to all of us, though, in all kinds of situations. So consider the source, says Mildred McDonald, has the ability to temporarily diffuse emotions, like a dab of aloe vera on a sunburn. So somebody's just said something, ouch, that hurt, wait a minute. Considering the source can help us decipher if we trust and value the opinion of the person delivering the criticism. If we know that that person isn't typically very nice or isn't very typically trustworthy, maybe we don't have to let that hurt us so much. Considering the source gives us a chance to decide whether that negative feedback is valid. Is what they said even true? If we decide that the person is a trusted source and the feedback is valid, we can make the choice to constructively incorporate their feedback into our work or our lives or our relationship, the way we go about our lives. On the other hand, if we decide that the criticism is not coming from a place of integrity, accuracy, and goodwill, we can quickly sweep it into the dustbin and carry on with our day, secure in the knowledge that at least we took the time to process the criticism in a healthy, open, and proactive way. Right? If only it were so simple and tidy as Mildred McDonald says. Even if it's not true, even if it comes from an untrustworthy source, depending on how close that source is to us, it still can hurt. I've got the analogy up here of rock, paper, scissors. You think about who we are and how close people are to us, and I think the rock, paper, scissors analogy shows us how easy it is to consider the source and whether or not we're going to allow the words to rock our world, if you will, double entendre. So what I mean by that is we have ourself, and then our spouse, then our closest friends, our church family, especially if we're in a small group. Those are people who know us very well, and we have some vulnerability with them. Then maybe our neighbors, our coworkers, then you've got your acquaintances in the community at large. And you see what I mean? The farther away you get from your inner circle, the less likely it is that those words coming from that source will be hurtful. So, you know, somebody says something that's kind of in the periphery of your acquaintance, it's easier to just say, paper. I can just cover that over, not let it bother me. But, you know, somebody from your small group says something that hurt. That's more like scissors, that cuts. Then you've got a confrontation that really cuts close. And your spouse says something that probably shouldn't have said, really hurts, that's a rock, that can do some real damage. You see what I mean? I sort of reordered those paper, scissors, rock. But sometimes the rocks can come from the outside. This happens when Satan attacks us, you know, as believers in Christ, we are safe from Satan. We are secure. Yet, rocks can come from the outside. And I want to say, if you're experiencing doubts and fears that seem to be coming from nowhere, I think that we should consider the possibility that the source might be the enemy of our soul. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 calls our enemy, the devil, prowling around looking for someone to devour. But Satan is just waiting for an opportunity to throw a rock into our world and do some damage. The scripture also calls Satan the father of lies. So if you're hearing sort of needling, nagging concerns in your mind that you just don't know why or where those have come from, maybe it's a rock coming from the outside. And scripture urges us to consider the source. as well as to be good and trustworthy sources of words ourselves. Again, turning to the scripture, the Apostle Paul, who struggled. Isn't it kind of a comfort that somebody like Paul struggled not to say or do the wrong thing sometimes? But in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, "We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming." So consider the source. You know, is this just a person who we should not deem trustworthy and should not allow their words to hurt us? But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So it's receiving words and being those who speak words that are not hurtful. That's good advice, right? Wise words. But how? How do we decipher good sources from bad? And how do we grow up as followers of Christ so that we can withstand hurtful words, no matter the source, and so that we can communicate with integrity ourselves? The answer lies in Scripture and in us. Luke 6:45 says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." Now here, a good person means a righteous person. And Pastor Vern addressed this righteous word last week. You know, it's not about being perfect. It's about having the right posture. It's about having the right stance toward God, desiring a right relationship with God, striving for a right relationship with God, striving to say the right things. Now, when I say posture and stance, I sort of use those interchangeably. I like the word stance because it sounds like stand. And what we need to know when we're trying to be a person of good words, a good and righteous person, is where we stand in relationship to God. Have we opened our hearts and minds to God's goodness so that God's goodness can flow into and out of us? I used the words posture and stance in the same way that I use heart and mind in the same way. There's a whole sermon to be shared about heart and mind and the difference between those two and how Scripture addresses them. But for our purposes today, what I mean by that is what's inside us. Because what's inside us in our hearts and minds inevitably comes out. Earlier, I quoted Dallas Willard, who essentially said that the world is full of hurt people nursing their wounds and trying to save them from pain. The message of the gospel is this: we can't do it. We don't have to save ourselves from pain, from sin, from hurtful words, or even from hurtful actions. Regardless of the source of the hurt and the harm, even if it's self-inflicted. I haven't even touched on that part, but for me, it's one of my major struggles in using hurtful words. I don't often say things to other people that I think could be even misconstrued as hurtful, but the things I say to myself sometimes, I would never say out loud to anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Even so, the hurtful words that we experience, we don't have to be our own saviors from those. In fact, we cannot. We have tried over the course of human history and failed. We cannot save ourselves. God has made a better way, a stronger way, a higher way that transcends our human attempts to heal the pain of hurtful words. God's way is Jesus Christ. God's way is the way, the truth, and the life. The solution to hurtful words is the living word. As Jesus is described in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us." If we so choose, if we invite him, if we allow him, This living word will take up residence inside us and forever change how we give and receive words. When we focus on our true Savior instead of trying to be our own, we will be able to withstand hurt, even deflect it, in light of our greater purpose, our higher calling to serve God and others and reflect God's glory. When was the last time you woke up to start your day and said to yourself, "Today, reflect God's glory"? Is this something we normally say to ourselves? I'm learning. I'm trying. I think it's a good thing to say because that's what we're meant to do. That's God's purpose for us, to reflect his glory, not just to get by, not just to survive, not just to, you know, try not to mess it up, but to reflect God's glory. It's a much higher calling than I think that we feel that we can embrace, but we can, and we should, and God calls us to do so. Again, looking to Paul's words in Ephesians, he says, "I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We've been called not to hurt, to a higher purpose, to reflect God's glory, to live out the gospel truth that Jesus is our Savior. We don't have to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. And come what may, whatever hurtful words may trip us up, whatever hurtful words may come out of our own mouths, we are safe when we turn to our Savior for forgiveness and help and healing. So the verse for today, the suggested memory verse, which, by the way, is a wonderful way to combat negative thoughts, self-talk, hurtful words, learn the scripture, steep yourself in that, comes from Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Who are the righteous? That's us. We're not perfect, but we have right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have postured ourselves toward him and toward that desire to love and serve others. So let's find comfort and healing in knowing God, experiencing God's goodness, and embracing our identity and destiny as God's beloved. Let's pray.
Thanks for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk with Jesus Christ. For more resources, visit our website at northgatefmc.com or download the Northgate app. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.